afternoon, everyone. It's Saturday once again, and if it's Saturday, it must be World Crisis Radio. This is your host, Webster Griffin Tarpley. I'm very happy today to be speaking to you from Seattle, and I'll be telling you about some of the things that I've been doing here, along with members of the Seattle 9/11 Visibility Group. We've been turning this entire region upside down here over the last couple of days over the issue of 9/11 truth, the issue that Bush, Cheney, the neocons, and the invisible government obviously fear more than any other one, because this is the one that can put them out of business. As usual, we are streaming worldwide on the Internet at rbnlive.com, republicbroadcastingnetwork.com, and we're also broadcasting on shortwave at 11.915 megahertz in the 25-meter band, pointed from Tennessee towards the southwestern United States and across the Pacific all the way to Australia. I'd love to hear from people in Australia who can hear this program on shortwave. And we also have, thanks to our satellite hookups, an undetermined number, ranging up to perhaps as many as 150 low-power community FM radio stations that are interested in undercutting the propaganda of the regime by broadcasting RBN Live. Let me say, first of all, we're delighted to have you here today, because later on, at about in about 35 minutes or so, say at about 40 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing on our very distinguished guest today. That is Andreas von Bülow, the former technology minister of the Federal Republic of Germany, the former deputy defense minister of the Federal Republic of Germany, also was the head of the Parliamentary Intelligence Committee, the equivalent of the Senate Intelligence Committee of Germany, and delved very much into the nefarious activities of secret intelligence agencies, and was, on a world scale, one of the first, most courageous pioneers in the cause of 9/11 truth. In particular, his interview in the Berlin Tagesspiegel of early January 2002 opened the eyes of many to what had gone on, and I'm happy to count myself among the people who learned a great deal from that landmark interview. So Andreas von Bülow will be joining us here in a little bit, over half an hour. Now, in the meantime, I want to announce for people that are here in the Puget Sound area, Seattle, Tacoma, and the environs, this evening at 6 p.m., there's going to be a very interesting event. This is called Facing the Truth About 9/11. Facing the Truth at 9/11 starts at about 6 o'clock in the University of Washington Hub Auditorium. That is the Seattle main campus Hub Auditorium. You can find more details by going to www.september11th.org. That is the words spelled out. And I hear the strains of Haydn reminding us that our first segment has already come to an end. And I'll be back in just a couple of minutes with some news items, in particular on the 9/11 front. See you soon.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
So we're up here in Seattle, and again this evening, there will be this important event at the University of Washington Hub Auditorium. That is the main campus in downtown Seattle at 6 p.m., Facing the Truth About 9/11. I'm told that the better place to get some info about this on the Internet is, without any further notation, no www, but seekinglight.net, seekinglight.net. /911VIS, seekinglight.net, /911VIS. This is the Seattle 9/11 Visibility Group, and I'm going to be there, but we're also going to have Barry Zwicker. Barry Zwicker, the very distinguished Canadian film producer, documentary filmmaker, journalist from Canada. Television programs on 9/11, attacking the lies of the official version, were among the first, and perhaps I think the very first, nationwide television attacks on the 9/11 myth to be broadcast in any of the prominent Western countries or the NATO states. So Barry Zwicker is going to be there. He will be talking about a book that he has got in the press right now. That is called Towers of Deception, 9/11 and the Media Cover-Up. Towers of Deception, 9/11 and the Media Cover-Up. I'll be able to tell you the publisher in a minute. You'll be able to pre-order that, I think, through Barry's publisher. And I urge you to take a look at it. It's a story of how the media have lied and distorted the realities of the world, and in particular, 9/11. Now, we will entertain your questions later. I would like to limit the questions today, once again, to 9/11 issues only. This is the overriding issue of our time. It gets precious little attention anywhere else. Most other issues, you can find people willing to talk about them quite easily. This should tell us something about those other issues, perhaps. But in any case, the one that I would like to have on the table today is 9/11. When we get to Andreas von Bülow, we'll be able to ask him some questions. So you can call in at 800-313-9443. That will be 800-313-9443. Call in and ask some questions. Now, let me just give you an idea of today's program. I'd like to give you a couple of quick news items about the military strategic front and about the financial front, the death agony of the dollar. And then we can move on to some 9/11 news. I think the principal things here are the openness of President Chavez of Venezuela to actually host the Independent International Truth Commission, that is the 9/11 World Tribunal or 9/11 Truth Summit, as it may be called, sometime in the near future. We're getting at least signals of President Chavez's willingness to do that. I think this would be a tremendous service to the cause of truth and to world public opinion. And then on the negative side, we've got to talk about the antics being staged at the government's show trial of Zacharias Moussaoui down in Alexandria, Virginia. Let's look, first of all, at the Iran war front. A lot of people here have concluded, based on some very low-level diplomatic contacts that seem to be coming online, that the strategic crisis between the United States and Iran has somehow come to an end. I would warn against any such facile optimism. I think the Iran war remains on track, and I think this is a consensus of, let's say, non-regime observers. Let me point, however, to somebody who comes from the inside of the think tank circuit. That is a director of the Carnegie Foundation, a man called Joseph Sirincioni, C-I-R-I-N-C-I-O-N-I, if you'd like to find this statement on the Internet. He has an article in the March 27th edition of Foreign Policy Online, and he says the following, and I'll just quote him and make a few comments. Quote, says from Sirincioni, "For months, I have told interviewers that no senior political or military official was seriously considering a military attack on Iran. In the past few weeks, I have changed my view. In part, this shift was triggered by colleagues with close ties to the Pentagon and the executive branch, who have convinced me that some senior officials have already made up their minds. They want to hit Iran." And Sirincioni concludes by saying, "What I previously dismissed as posturing by the Bush administration, I now believe may be a coordinated campaign to prepare for a military strike on Iran." I think something of this type coming from a person in this position at this particular juncture is probably more valuable than the diplomatic charade and pantomime being staged by Condoleezza Rice, Zalmay, alias Zal Khalilzad, who is somehow representing the United States in Iraq on the one hand, and the Iranian authorities on the other. It seems to me that this entire affair still is on track. Concerning the Iranian oil bourse, I would warn again against the disinformation flying around, and I will hope to have some information for you on that next time from as close to the horse's mouth as I can get it. Right now, I have been tied up with 9/11 issues for the last several days. But let's just also keep our eye on the collapsing death agony of the U.S. dollar. Remember that at the end of February, we had the first symptom of a world monetary crisis in the form of the partial collapse of the Icelandic currency, the kroner. Then in a couple of weeks after that, we had a crisis in the stock markets of the Gulf states, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi, Muscat, and indeed Egypt and Saudi Arabia, quite large in the case of those two. They were taking tremendous, breathtaking plunges. A lot of this, of course, linked to the causal element, the end of the yen carry trade, the end of the 0% interest rates from the Bank of Japan. And that, of course, is setting the stage for some kind of cataclysmic event in the dollar realm. If you look, for example, at the London Financial Times this week and the newspaper The Australian, for our listeners out in that part of the world, we've had a partial collapse of the New Zealand currency, and in particular, the currency of New Zealand is now at a 22-month low. It has joined the Icelandic currency in the tank, so to speak. So the question is only which of the emerging markets and secondary markets around the world will join Iceland and New Zealand under tremendous selling pressure of their currencies. And in particular, we're looking at Russia, we're looking at Turkey, and we're looking at India. And those larger ones, larger outside of the Western Europe, United States, Japan area, would then prepare a further descent into monetary crisis. Now, let's look for a second at the news coming to us from Venezuela. We've known that Jimmy Walter, the millionaire political philanthropist who has done a great deal to keep 9/11 alive as an issue in world public opinion and used a lot of his personal fortune to do so, in particular the anniversary of 9/11, the third anniversary meeting in New York with 1,500 people, the Euro tour last spring, which I was fortunate enough to participate in. Jimmy Walter has now been in Venezuela with William Rodriguez, the hero of the North Tower, the janitor who used his pass key to save numerous lives and at the end of the afternoon had to be dug out from underneath a fire engine when the buildings collapsed on September 11th. They have been meeting with Venezuelan officials, and the word is that they're going to be on the weekly television program of President Chavez. And we have gotten some signals through radio broadcasts and interviews from Walter and Rodriguez in Venezuela that President Chavez will be at least entertaining the idea of an independent international truth commission of the type mentioned by Charlie Sheen in his famous radio interview and CNN picking it up in the week after March 20th. So we've got the possibility of this now for the first time. I think it's very exciting. I have been working on this particular issue since about 2002. You have to go back to the Russell Tribunal, the Russell Sartre Vietnam Tribunal held in Copenhagen, Denmark, and Stockholm, Sweden, with a preliminary session in London in 1966 and 1967. Those sessions were the ones that broke the back of the Lyndon Johnson administration lies concerning the war in Vietnam. They destroyed the credibility of the Vietnam War in the face of world public opinion. And that was a turning point. Now, what obviously the world needs is a similar operation to be done on the 9/11 official version. And we've now got the possibility that this will be done with powerful help from somebody like Chavez. We'll be back with more details about that on World Crisis Radio in just a minute.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Back on World Crisis Radio, broadcasting today from Seattle. Again, a reminder, if you're anywhere near Seattle, Tacoma, Puget Sound area, come this evening at 6 p.m. to the University of Washington Hub Auditorium at the main campus downtown for an evening of Facing the Truth About 9/11 with Barry Zwicker, the distinguished Canadian filmmaker and author. His new book is Towers of Deception, 9/11 and the Media Cover-Up, published by New Society Publishers in British Columbia, Canada, I guess in Vancouver. But you can look them up on the Internet. New Society Publishers put in a pre-order for Towers of Deception, 9/11 and the Media Cover-Up. It's going to be published in August, just in time for the fifth anniversary of 9/11. So let me just get back to the question of the Truth Commission. Remember when Charlie Sheen gave that landmark interview that was then played up on CNN, one of the parts that they chose perhaps not to stress was the question of an independent international body to evaluate the lies of the Bush regime. And I think it could be on the model of the Bertrand Russell Sartre Vietnam Tribunal of 66 to 67. The idea here would be to get a panel of distinguished international personalities of all political stripes, but people who were statesmen, humanitarians, artists, scientists, people in the area of literature or imaginative writing or painters, people of all different types who are distinguished, people of massive reputation and integrity, who could then deliver a verdict after having heard a series of presentations from presenters, researchers in the field about such issues as what brought down the Twin Towers in New York City, what is the explanation of the collapse of Building 7 at 5:30 in the afternoon, what hit the Pentagon, what happened in Shanksville, why were the Patsies not arrested, could the Patsies have flown the planes, what was the purpose of this entire thing, and the two most important questions, is the Kane-Hamilton-Zelikow Commission verdict credible? And if not, as seems likely, to put it mildly, then what is an alternative explanation for these cataclysmic events? Now, that has gotten a whole lot nearer thanks to the willingness of the Venezuelan government to at least consider what they might contribute to it. Now, on the negative side, we've had the absurd circus staged at the show trial of Zacharias Moussaoui in Alexandria, Virginia. As I think I pointed out in the past, Moussaoui is obviously a controlled patsy. He is part of the stable of dupes, fanatics, double agents, psychotics, and Oswalds, I guess you'd have to say, that are kept by the intelligence agencies for the purpose of being made into scapegoats for these large intelligence operations that are carried out, 9-1-1 being the classic case. At the beginning of this week, Moussaoui, in his insanity, insisted on taking the stand in his own trial at the Rocket Docket in Alexandria, Virginia, and he threw out essentially his entire defense of 3.5 years. He had argued that he was not a part of the 9/11 plot. This time he changed his tune and claimed that he was an integral part of the 9/11 plot and that he was going to attack the White House using a Boeing 747, and that his main aide, his helper in this project, was going to be none other than Richard Reed, the shoe bomber. Now, I think we have to pause here and point out the common denominator of the two of these people is their severe mental impairment, the fact that these are people who are mentally disturbed, incapable of organizing even their own daily lives, and nevertheless, we're supposed to believe that two specimens of this abysmal nature, wretches really, who ought to be confined in institutions for the criminally insane, are somehow capable of spectacular acts of terrorism that would tax even the abilities of the most experienced pilots in the world, as those pilots have indeed testified. You can read about that in my book on 9/11 synthetic terrorism. The defense, having been abandoned by their own client, then tried to discredit Moussaoui, and in doing so, they obviously pointed out that this man is mentally disturbed, that he is not to be taken seriously when he makes these raving statements. Of course, he certifies to everybody that Al-Qaeda and bin Laden are his two gods. He is rendering precious service to maintaining the official version as a propaganda tool in the minds of many duped and gulled people and terrified people across the world. And I'll just be back in a couple of seconds. We're going to have a few more comments on this, and then we will move on into our interview with Andreas von Bülow, the former German technology minister and one of the pioneering courageous researchers on September 11th.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. My name is Webster Tarpley. We're broadcasting as usual on Saturday afternoons or whatever time of day it is where you are, streaming on rbnlive.com on the internet, broadcasting shortwave 11.915 megahertz in the 25-meter band and available to low-power community FM listeners in a multiplicity of locations. One more reminder, this evening, 6 p.m., University of Washington, Hub Campus in Seattle, Facing the Truth About 9/11, with Barry Zwicker, distinguished Canadian filmmaker, and myself, 6 p.m., buy a ticket at the door, free parking on campus, sponsored by the September 11th Visibility Group of Seattle, one of the most active and most capable of such groups in any of the U.S. metropolitan areas. As I was talking about the Moussaoui trial, of course, when Moussaoui stood up and gave his blanket endorsement to the official version and indeed tried to then embroider it and embroider himself into it, his defense team, trying desperately to save his life, and it's a desperate prospect for them, tried to impeach him and discredit him. And what they did was they got the CIA to go into half a dozen of their black sites and secret overseas prisons and ask such people as Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, this legendary character that they've built up as the so-called mastermind of 9/11, when, of course, he could have been nothing of the kind in reality. And others, Ramzi bin al-Shib and people of this type, to say, what was your view of Mousawi? And generally they come back saying, well, he's a half-wit, a dreamer, a misfit, a megalomaniac, vastly overestimating his own capability. I think what we've got here in terms of the theory of these events is a very important window into the world of the patsies, into this world of manipulated, duped individuals, again, psychotics, fanatics, double agents. We can look back into Mousawi's history and you can see that he's about half a double agent and half a psychotic. He's certainly incapable of anything like what the government claims about him. I would say if you compare Mousawi to Lee Harvey Oswald, you'd have to assume that Mousawi is several levels below Oswald in his mental ability. And again, I think this person is a candidate for an institution for the criminally insane and not at all for the death penalty trial that now seems to be looming on the horizon. One further element, we're about 5 minutes from going to our guest in Germany, Andreas von Bülow. I would ask the director, the producer, to perhaps begin getting Andreas on the line, because we're going to need him in about... Is that something unusual? I'm sorry, that's the German code. In other words, he's put the 0049 at the beginning. That's what he, I guess, what you do is take off those two zeros and just get out of the U.S. and then go to the 49 and see if it works that way. Okay, he's given you the sort of inside Europe version. So I think you've got to do whatever you just said, followed by 49 and then the number that you have. Okay, so we have a few more minutes to solve that. Let's see what we have now. In terms of, 9/11 synthetic terror, let me say some news that I think has some significance. My book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, Made in USA, is now, as of this past week, the number one bestseller among all 9/11 studies available on the internet bookseller Amazon. Now, I urge you, of course, to buy it from RBN in the RBM Trading Post. But if you look at Amazon, you get these rankings among the different books. Thanks to some of the things that have happened in the past couple of weeks, the article in New York Magazine, the Charlie Sheen revelations, and the fact that I was able to participate in one of the CNN broadcasts about this, that has somehow focused public attention on this book. And I am now selling more copies through Amazon in particular than any of the others. Any of the others includes the Kane Hamilton Zelikow book, that is the 9/11 Commission, The Tissue of Lies, vastly inferior to the Warren Commission by any possible standard. And it also includes such books as the probably the most prominent example of LIHOP, the most prominent Let It Happen on Purpose book, the Mike Ruppert Crossing the Rubicon, and also more than the two studies of Dr. David Ray Griffin, The Omissions and Distortions and The New Pearl Harbor. I think the significance of this goes far beyond me as a writer, but it shows a change in the public mentality in the United States, and perhaps even more broadly, that the books which dealt with unanswered questions or letting it happen on purpose, or even the books that had to do with Bush Cheney somehow as protagonists of making it happen on purpose, these books are beginning to seem, I think, less interesting to many readers than the one that I represent, which is what I would call invisible government MIHOP. In other words, the rogue network, the secret team, the people that brought you Iran-Contra gun running and drug running, now living on in a new transmogrification as the directors, the orchestrators of the entire event. So I think it shows that there's a taste now in the public for a more radical analysis, something that is more sweeping, something that is more ruthless, perhaps, in the way that it approaches these things, and which advances a very definite overall theory of what happened. David Ray Griffin, for example, tends to answer all of the individual questions, and most of them, in a way that would be coherent with my hop, made it happen on purpose. But when it comes to the overall question of what this was, who did it, and so forth, he then says that he does not offer any overall, overarching mention of what this is. So that is, I think that is a difference. Thank you very much. Let me just continue then, wrapping up. So I think it's on the whole symptomatic of some change in the public mentality that a book that represents, I think, a fairly radical approach has been able to attract the interest of a large public. So I urge you to get a copy and see for yourself. Don't trust anything that I say. Make sure that you verify all of it. And now we have a real treat, because we have Andreas von Bülow on the line from Germany, I believe. And let me just introduce him. I am delighted to have him with us. This is an honor and a kind of a special occasion for this program. Andreas von Bülow was a member of the German Social Democratic governments, generally led by Helmut Schmidt, in the late 70s into the early 80s. At one point, he was the technology minister of the Federal Republic of Germany. At another time, he was the deputy defense minister. And another one of his important posts was to be the chief of the Parliamentary Oversight Commission for the German intelligence agencies, in particular the BND, or Bundesnachrichtendienst, which is one of the bigger and more capable intelligence agencies that you haven't perhaps heard so much about, although you have heard something about it in connection with the opening of the Iraq War, and perhaps Andreas will talk to us about that. He is the author of a number of books. One is called Im Namen des Staates, In the Name of the State. That is about the, the abuses and distortions, I guess I would say, of what the intelligence agencies do in the world. And, of course, his most famous book is The CIA and September 11th. I regret very much to say that our American publishers have struck out and missed the boat on this one, at least so far, that the English edition is not available as far as I know. And if I'm wrong, I hope Andreas is going to correct me. But so far, we're not able to read this in English, but you can read it in German. And many, many people in the German-speaking area have done so. It is one of the leading bestsellers. So not only is Andreas one of the highest ranking in terms of having a very distinguished political career, but at the same time, he was one of the first people out of the gate in the early January 2002 with that landmark interview in the Berlin Tagesspiegel, which I mentioned before. So he takes his place as a distinguished pioneer, opening up whole new areas of research and making breakthroughs that the rest of us have been happy to follow up on, coming in his footsteps along the way. So let me welcome from, I believe it's Bonn, Germany, Andreas von Bülow.
Hello, Webster.
Hi, Andreas.
Yeah. I have not been a chairman of this commission. I was just a member, but I had to do with the money for these secret services.
So you held the power of the purse.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, wonderful. Now, maybe we have so much to talk about. Maybe you could tell us somehow what prepared you in your own career for being able to become a critic of the U.S. government's official version. In other words, you have dealt with these intelligence agency questions. I know you looked at sort of nefarious cooperation between the old West German side of things and the East German side of things, the Stasi and people like Schalk Golodkovsky, unless I miss my guess. And maybe you could begin to bring our readers into that kind of our listeners into that kind of a world, because it seems to me that that's the framework where you can begin to fit in the 9/11 facts and get them into context.
Yeah, sure. Well, it was I was at the end of my parliamentarian career. I was the speaker of my fraction in a commission which looked for the Stasi business in economic criminality between East and West, because the East was rather weak on the economic side, and so they tried a lot of tricks in order to bring about money. And I thought it would be very easy to find out what these communists did, how they made their money, and how much and on what field they made their criminal acts. And I thought that our government would be able to provide the files, but they were very reluctant to do that, because finally you found out that on each part of these business between East and West, running against Western laws, the European laws or the export laws of NATO and so on and so on, you found always an Secret Service guy from the Western part. Not only the Bundesnachrichtendienst, it was also the CIA. They sold the highest capable computers to the Stasi and to the KGB and so on and so on. And I've tried to find out what they did. The Eastern side had to pay 300% of the price by which the CIA could buy these things, and they sold it to the other side. And you're always asking where was the money, where was the money going, and who was participating in it. And out of frustration, I finally decided to find out what the background of all this was. And so I looked very strongly in the capability of the CIA, especially at the end of the Vietnam War, as in the United States there was a atmosphere of clearing things up, looking into the deeper details of the assassination modes and so on and so on. And about this I have written a book. And this prepared me to look at 9/11. When it came about, these horrible pictures coming over our TVs, and the whole world was watching what was going on, I said, "Well, this is horrible. This is an attack on the United States. But on the other hand, there must something behind, or there might be a hidden story behind this. To whom does it benefit? Who can use this kind of attack?" And then you all found out that where the TV pictures where the towers came down, intermersed with these pictures where the Palestinians dancing for joy in East Jerusalem. And I watched everything. I watched that the so-called Arab passengers were not on the flight list. I found out that Osama bin Laden had been an asset of the CIA, and so on and so on. And so if you look all these things up and try to bring about and then you watch the government, what the government is doing, clearing all the scenery, bringing about the theory about what's really happened, and then you found out that they rather immediately started to lie. And therefore, finally, I decided to write a book to bring all these questions together and what has to be cleared up in order to bring the right pictures. And I think what the Bush administration is telling is a conspiracy theory, which is ridiculous.
Right. So would you say that in your experience, you were talking about the Stasi, for our listeners, that is the State Security Agency, or Staatssicherheitsdienst of the old DDR, the German Democratic Republic, in other words, the communist regime of East Germany that Andreas was talking about before. Would you say that the dynamic of the modern intelligence agency is that they all tend to act in similar ways, that they converge on the same forms of behavior, no matter what they represent otherwise?
I think if you're, for example, the United States is the biggest country in the world, the most important country in the world. If they would like to become the only ruler of the world, you behave differently as if you are a player within a consort of other nations. The Mossad is another example. They have
hold that thought, Andreas. The music coming up means that our segment is ending. We have a hard break. We'll be back with Andreas von Bülow in a minute.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. My name is Webster Tarpley. Come to the University of Washington this evening, Hub Auditorium in Seattle, to hear an evening of Facing the Truth About 9/11. But right now we are already facing the truth about that with our distinguished guest, Andreas von Bülow, former Technology Minister of Germany for the Social Democratic Party. Andreas, you were talking about the unilateralist world domination ideas of the Bush administration and the role of the intelligence agencies in that?
Yeah, sure. I think if you are running, as the CIA was organized by Alan Dulles, in 46, 1946, he said, we must be better than the KGB. And I think this is a program, a horrible program. And I, in my formal years, I always said, well, we are democracies and we don't behave like that, like the other side. Some things are off limits for Western policies. But if you look at the real history, you find out that, well, you had a Western KGB and they had a program which nearly came up to the standards. And at the end of the Vietnam War, there were lots of congressional commissions looking deep into this history. And therefore, and you still have this this kind of capability, and I think even Rumsfeld is now developing even more capabilities within the the Department of Defense. So, I think a lot of other nations only have really intelligence agencies looking behind the scenery, what is going on, which you can't get on the open market, but not covert operation, running beyond the barrier of war fighting, indirect war fighting by raising conflicts of inhabitants of other populations and so on, influencing elections by terror acts and so on. So I think it's different. You don't have secret services on the same type. Germany started with the Bundesnachrichtendienst, which came directly out of the Wehrmacht, out of the Nazi regime. It was taken over by the CIA, and then finally it became the Federal Secret Service. I think they are now tamed in this background.
When the Cold War ended and the Warsaw Pact dissolved and then the Soviet Union dissolved, there had been some hope that perhaps these intelligence agencies could be cut down to size because of the lack of this geopolitical clash of East and West. But now we seem to have, in spite of everything, the growth, the greater and greater power of these groups. Well, we're going to have to get your answer to that when we come back at the beginning of the next hour now here on World Crisis Radio with Andreas von Bülow from Germany.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.